Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 127 of the Making a Marketer podcast. I'm Megan Powers with Powers of Marketing, and my co-host and friend is Miss Jen Cole. How are you today, Jen?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm happy to be home from a busy, busy work day hanging out with you ladies. It's going to be great.
Yay. Yeah, and I teased her. I sent her, well, I tagged her in a tweet that her Kansas City Royals are in San Diego playing my Padres this week, and so yeah, we beat them. Sorry,
it's always so brutal. It's always so brutal.
And we have a friend. Welcome to Militia. Thanks for being on with us. Hey. All right, our guest today is also a friend to both of us. She skipped town and doesn't live in San Diego anymore. She's out in Nashville, but want to welcome to the show the lovely Marissa Callie.
Hi, Megan. Hi, Jen. Thank you for having me. Happy to be back on the show. I think this is my second time on the show.
Nice.
So yeah.
Happy to be back. That's awesome.
The topic of the show today, boys and girls, is about live streaming. And Miss Marissa is used to being on the other side of things. She's not used to being on camera. She's used to pushing the buttons and stuff. And so today I get to be on camera and pushing the buttons, which is always fun. So I'm excited to dig into this. So let me read her bio. Marissa Callie has managed and grown her own consulting business since 2015 and embraces the benefits and challenges of the work from anywhere lifestyle. In April 2020, she launched the Live on Social Now Productions division of her marketing consulting business, which blends her love of tech, project management, and creativity. Over the last 4 years, Marissa has had the pleasure of working with exceptional corporate and educational institution partners to execute virtual events, exclusive fireside chats, inspirational keynotes, video podcasts that build community, and corporate events that don't suck. My favorite kind. In May, she launched Resilient Events along with John Harris on 100 TV Network, the one-stop destination for exclusive weekly shows by independent creators. Resilient Events highlights the constantly changing world of events, its highs and lows, and why that's led them to believe that resilience is a foundational mindset for success in events, business, and in life. Speaking my love language, yes. Events, girl.
Yes.
It's my thing.
All of the things are events, if you really
look at it.
Everything's
an event, yeah. For reals. Yeah. Hey, Christone. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Christone.
Thank you to everyone on the live, on the replay, listening on the podcast. We appreciate it. Jen, let's get cooking.
Yes, let's get to the meat of this thing. I'm so excited. I love talking about live video. So this is going to be an extra special episode. So, all right, Marissa, let's just go. Can you explain the importance of live video production in today's digital marketing landscape? And how do you think that it enhances a brand's marketing efforts?
Well, yeah, I think one, it's as much as us as marketers think that everyone's live streaming and you hear that, oh, you have a podcast. Oh, doesn't everyone have a podcast? There are still a lot of people that do not have it, nor they are not going live. So they are still trying to manage their content calendar in Canva or Adobe and creating these very stale, boring images. While the templates have improved, they're not going live. And so you're not able to see the authenticity. You're not making any connections with the online audience. And so it's super important to have some type of live. And I say some type of live because I think people are very terrified of going live because they're not prepared. But I do a lot of simulive. So we record as if it's live. There's a little bit of editing, but I think that reduces some of the fear as well. And, you know, it's just really important to have something live out there, especially if your goal is to connect with others. So,
yeah, build that community and build that thought leadership. It's a great way to do that for sure.
Well, and that's why we try it's not this every month, but we try to do every other one live so that we're walking the walk and getting to interact as much as we can with our community. But like, you know, like we know, generally speaking, if you don't have a same time, like every week, it's very hard to, for you to get your show on other people's calendars. But I'm right there with you in terms of needing to have something that is live. And if it's simulive, don't you would probably have them be on the, when it broadcasts, right? So they could be in the comments.
Yeah, either them or someone on their team, depending on who they are. I think one of the things that a lot of people, you know, and I don't know, I can ask you guys this, like in terms of preparation, it's about the same when you're going live versus recording your episode. You might just have a little bit more editing if you guys record and don't go live. And I think a lot of people forget about that. They just think that they can go live and not either repurpose it later on, or don't do like an outline and a proper like preparation strategy so they have a goal of each live.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, I think we can all agree that video has been the essential thing marketers have been told to have as part of their content plans for the last probably 6 years. So I'm curious what motivated you to make live stream producing a main part of your consulting business. Like, what was the tipping point there?
Well, part of it was two parts. I pride myself on, and someone told me this today, and I'm going to roll with it, low tech, high value content. So I think when I started doing live streaming or Simulive, it was around 2018. So prior to that, I was doing the hold up your phone and go live on Facebook and try to talk to people and get people interacting. But we decided to start using StreamYard back in 2019 to record podcasts because it was a way to connect with people outside of the office. And this is like obviously before COVID and before everything shut down. And I was really expanding my network outside of who I knew in San Diego when I lived there at the time in 2019. So that was one of the reasons why I wanted to start live streaming. But then I realized how much work is involved in doing an actual live stream, getting people to show up, repurposing it. And at the time, I just didn't, I was really focused on managing a lot of content and really doing a lot of consulting. And so I didn't have time to show up on camera and show up prepared. And at the time, I had a co-host who I hate to throw him under the bus, but we just weren't aligned with like tasks and I couldn't do it all myself. So I started helping my clients actually get on video and creating content that way. So then I realized, oh, there's like a way to actually be a producer and like help them get it like visually aligned with their brand and make it easy for them so they can show up with the right energy and not have to be like looking down on the camera, on the thing and trying to press the buttons and, you know, not being able to connect with their eyes into the camera. So that's how it happened. And that was really like right in mid-March 2020 when my clients were trying to get their content online and we didn't have a way to meet up. So,
right.
You know, that's how it happened. And I was like, I'm going to set up a domain. I'm going to make a website. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start creating content around producing. And really it was to help people.
Yeah.
Because I was tired of seeing people like try to figure it out or not branded. And it was just like, I knew the marketing background of the benefit of live streaming. And it was just, they were going live with Zoom with Black, you know, which is fine. But like, you know, if you're really like a corporate brand, like not like trying to make your own brand yourself, like you should invest in that. So
yeah,
that's really how it started.
Yeah. Well, what a time. I mean, that super smart because nobody knew what they were doing. And I mean, and except for the people, you know, like that are already, we're already doing it. Mm-hmm. Everyone else was just jumping on and, you know, me working in the event space. Yeah. I mean, all of the event tech just started to blow up and then, you know, everyone's just mm-hmm. trying to figure it out. So yeah, that's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah. And the second part to that was, I was really, you know, when I said I was helping people, I was, you know, this is a really tough time in our country. There was a lot of unrest. Mm-hmm. I was working with people that had good messages to share. And I was sitting behind the computer producing these really important conversations. And it really aligns with who I am to be present for conversations that matter. And so that turned into like my slogan, because if you're busy trying to press the buttons or figuring out how to do your show, you're not present. You're not listening to your guest. You're not trying to deliver the value. You're just kind of trying to do multiple things. So
how dare you? Became,
I mean, you're more experienced than a lot of the average people that are live streaming. I'm not talking about someone like you, but like, you know, it's just not possible, you know? So
yeah. No, for sure. And I have said in the past that I, when I listen back, I often hear things that I didn't hear the first time because I am, you know, trying to figure out, like, you know, sometimes like today, I think we have a pretty easy day, but sometimes our guests will answer questions that are later on in the beginning. And we're like, oh, so now, so then we're like in the dock, right? In the run of show, kind of scrambling to figure out what questions next, or it's going long. And then we have to figure out, all right, which questions do we keep and which do we cut and that kind of stuff. So yeah. So sometimes there's a little bit of that. I feel like I'm present enough that I'm answering back if I've asked, you know, if I've asked a question, but, mm-hmm. but you know, you're totally right. But this is like my many a time doing this. So
practice makes perfect. Well, not even perfect, but practice makes you better. So
yeah,
right, right, right.
We've rolled with a lot of punches on this show, that's for sure. So Marissa, there are a lot of things to remember and a lot of things to plan for when you're thinking about doing live streaming. So what are some key things that businesses can think about when planning live video production, and then are there specific elements that they should focus on to make sure that their live broadcast is really going to be successful?
Yes. So there's two main things that I think you definitely need to first of all think about, and this is a marketing, you know, 101. What's the purpose of the event? Like, and this, I know this is an event in our eyes, but a lot of people don't view live stream as an event. It's an event. You plan for it. You put it on your calendar. You write around a show. There's all these things. This is a plan, right? So what is the purpose of it? What are you trying to, connect? Like what is, and then that can kind of influence how you deliver. So is it an interview? Are you doing trivia? Are you doing, is it just recording evergreen content for your website? I think if you don't have those two things first, you can't get started. And a lot of people will start producing their show or making their studio without thinking about that. And then they're starting to record and they're like, well, okay, what do I talk about now? Well, because you didn't plan what the purpose of your live stream is. And then another big, big thing is the call to action. Thank you, Megan, for having that on the banner like all the time. I think a lot of people don't or don't even have one. It could be like you're watching this or this is what the show is about. A lot of people just so in the content and not thinking about how can, if someone's watching this and maybe they're on mute or they don't have good, like they're on LinkedIn and they're scrolling, what are they watching? Are they just watching people talk or are they watching something that's like, oh, this is valuable for me? So I think that you have to think about those things anytime you're planning a live stream or event or what a series of events. I mean, a lot of people think about these things weekly. I do a few series that are like quarterly and they're all similar. Mm-hmm. Because it's branding every time. And we always think about what happens after the event is over and how do we reuse this? So,
Yeah, reusing content, super important. Hey, and I just want to say too, to our friends, we have, everybody has shared it to their own platforms, and we don't get the comments on the other streams. So if you're commenting on Jen's page or on Marissa's page and we're not responding, that is why. I just wanted to give you a heads up. Okay. That. StreamYard is awesome that it allows us to broadcast and serve to multicast, right, in so many different mm-hmm. places. But we're only getting comments from the main accounts that I yes. Put it out to. So just wanted to share that. We're not ignoring you. We will reply to your comments after the show.
Yes, indeed.
We learned that one time where we were like, huh, weird, nobody was here. And then all the comments were on Jen's page. We're like, oh, that's where everybody was hanging out together while we were talking.
That's interesting to know, because I think a lot of people, I think it's the first time I've used guest destinations. One, it's easy for me to connect my destinations. I already have a StreamYard account, but I was producing a stream a couple weeks ago and my client wanted her guest to connect to theirs. And I was like, well, I'm going to have to connect with him beforehand and have him sign up for a StreamYard account if he doesn't have one. Like, it was too much. And he has 20,000 followers, and it was really bummed to realize that workflow. Right. Maybe it'll improve later on. So
yeah, no, for sure. That would be cool. I could see it being an issue, like 10 different, trying to feed 10 comments from 10 different streams into multicast. But all right, so let's talk mistakes.
Yeah.
Not necessarily bloopers, but we Jen and I recorded 5 minutes of a show not that long ago where I hadn't hit the go live button. So it's stuff like that does happen. What's the number one mistake that you think people make when they live stream?
Well, the first one is not hitting record. I've done it. I've even done it as a producer.
I've done it too. Everyone's done it.
I think one of the big mistakes is people, and we talked about this, about repurposing. I don't really want to go into that yet. We might talk about it later, but people don't have a contingency plan for if the guest doesn't show up, if the guest's internet goes down, if they can't connect, if for some reason it doesn't go live, they did all this preparation, promotion, and it doesn't go live. Like, what is the backup plan? And a lot of times that won't happen, but it's happened to me in over 300 streams, maybe two have went wrong. One of them, I had a contingency plan, the other one I did not. So it was actually just recently happened, and I don't know if he'll watch this, but it was a connectivity issue between the streaming software and LinkedIn.
Oh.
So it never went live. And I was on the plane, so there was not much I could do. And I probably should have had a better contingency plan, if that didn't happen. And you know, that's just one of the things you can't control. But maybe reviewing that and knowing, okay, like, I will be on the plane. If this doesn't happen, then this is what needs to be done. That can happen. It hasn't happened in how many streams that I've done.
That's amazing. That percentage is so respectable.
It
really is.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a testament to the software, the planning that we're doing. You know, we've had a host that an MC that didn't show up till 2 minutes before going live. And so we were talking about someone else filling in as the MC. And luckily we had a full run of show, the script, we had all that. So it was nerve wracking for that person. But, if we didn't have that, if the MC was the only person who had the script and the run of show, then it really could have been bad. I mean, it turned out fine, but the contingency plan is always something, especially when you're dealing with such high level events. You definitely need to have that built in if something goes wrong.
For sure. I, when I was speaking a lot during COVID times, I would record my rehearsals, and I would give my best rehearsal to the show organizer, so that if anything happened with my connection, that they would then have, nice. Have that backup and be able to just play the video. So
yeah, that's so smart.
Yeah.
I mean, not every speaker is going to do that for you, but it helped me to recording mine helps me to play it back too, to like yeah. try to figure out what I should do better and all that kind of good stuff right. too. So
can I say one more thing? And I think the people are very afraid about going live, but I had one that was a gala that was about 90 minutes long and they wanted it full pre-recorded, like with all the elements like put together in one video. And we were like, no, because if the video freezes or goes down, we are going to have, it's going to be bad. Like, and this was live streaming a gala. And I'm glad we didn't do that because there were some videos that came out grainy once they were produced and delivered to us. And we were like, okay, well, that's fine. But what if that whole video was grainy? Like, what if it was just bad quality for that particular segment? And we had like the MC come in and, you know, do her little ad lib and it was fine. Yeah. And if you didn't have an MC or a live MC, you couldn't do that. You would just be like, well, the video's not playing or the video's bad. And there's no way to prevent that really, because it's one video file loaded. So
right.
I'm always an advocate for live. You can always improvise with live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. As long as you have a backup plan, I think you're good to go. Mm-hmm. Got a plan.
For sure. And if you don't have a backup plan, then that's when you're going to need it.
Yeah.
Right? Every time. Every time.
All right. So it's halftime. We're going to take a little brain break. And I got to thinking this past weekend where I didn't make any plans at all. And I started to feel kind of bad about it. And then I was like, wait a minute, I have the most crazy 6 weeks ahead of me. This is just what I need to do nothing. And I did stuff around the house and whatever, but I didn't make any plans with anyone. So it kind of got me thinking about, and I didn't have like a non-plan turn into a plan, but it got me thinking that might be fun for you guys to share, you know, what's the best non-plan planned thing.
Oh, well, who's Jen. Going first?
Yeah, let's Jen. Go Jen first.
Okay.
The best non-planned plan for me, if I'm here in Wichita, it is definitely going to be like, I guarantee you, I will get a hankering to go to the Hopping Gnome and just hang out with whoever's there, because there's always going to be somebody I know there. And if I'm at home, like not doing anything, I'm like, I know where our friends are. So I'm going to go there, hang out, be social, have a couple of, I drink seltzers, a lot of seltzers. And I don't really drink a lot of beer right now, but I, oh my gosh, I have a great mm-hmm. seltzer. So just going to relax with people I know, being nice. Social.
Nice.
Excellent. Marissa, what about you?
I have a really good plan, no plan story. I recently went to London and I booked an Airbnb right away when I knew I was going, and the Airbnb host basically went ghost on me, and she was a super host. So I assume that they're supposed to respond to you right away and like be really open with communication. That didn't happen. So I don't know. Hopefully she's okay and like alive. Like, I don't know what happens if people like die and they like Airbnb, like, I don't know what happens. Anyways, so I booked the Airbnb and I was like, okay, the trip's in April. We have time. This is November. I was like, this is fine. No big deal. Like, we'll get a place. I'll figure it out. And ended up like 3 weeks before one of our mutual friends, Sarah Clay, which you guys all know, mm-hmm. she lives in the area of where I was going. And I reached out to her and I said, hey, like, do you possibly have like a place to stay? Like, all the Airbnbs that we saw weren't within our budget and our Airbnb host like went ghost. And it turns out her neighbor had a whole house available. So we stayed there. For 4 days. And it was awesome because I didn't worry about it. Like, I was just like, okay, like, it'll all work out. Let me just reach out to my network, and had an amazing time and got to stay in a 4-level house in the UK and pay for electric for those 4 days, which is.
That's awesome.
Dang, that's amazing. I love how that worked out.
Yeah, it's a really good testament to just not worry. Everything will work out, because I am. You know, my job day to day is a planner, plan things, project manage, like everything is like has a deadline. And I'm really trying to embrace that this year because I'm not so good with it in my personal life sometimes. This is going on. What time? What time are we going there? Logistics. Like, what are we doing? And it ends up being really fun just to let things flow.
So. Yeah, for sure. Well, and I'm a planner also, like, right. Yeah. I plan events. But I, for myself personally, I can fly by the seat of my pants. Like Marissa, I could have like arrived in London and booked my place when I got there. Like that's how I can roll.
Yeah.
But mine is, it's funny because it just hit me as you guys were talking. I had a friend whose roommate I got to know a little bit, and he called me the morning of the day they were having a housewarming party and said, "Hey, so we're having a housewarming party tonight. If you're in the neighborhood, I booked a flight and flew to Phoenix
that afternoon."
Yeah,
that's amazing. So I
ended up dating him for a few months. It was kind of interesting. Kristen, yeah. Wow, I couldn't do that, Marissa. I'm too much of a planner. Yeah, well, I mean, she ended up getting it a few weeks before, right? She didn't pull a Megan. She didn't. Yeah.
But I also was, that was my backup plan. I would pull a Megan. Okay. Like, if worst case scenario, I'll find a place when we arrive or day before or something. Like, and I have to pay more than I budgeted for. But I knew that something would happen. So. Maybe, right?
Hotel Tonight's a beautiful thing.
Right.
I booked on there plenty of times and gotten like really good deals in New York City and that kind of thing. So amazing. All right, fun. All right, let's kick off second half.
Oh my gosh.
We're gonna go over time too, by the way.
Yeah, so, clearly.
All right. We may end up cutting out a question since we went over in the first half. That's fine. Go for it.
All right. Okay. So every brand has a story to tell and an audience to inform. I know a lot of brands out there are like, I'm not sexy. I don't know what to talk about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everyone has a story to tell. I am sorry about Floki. So, okay. But what are some creative ways that businesses can leverage live video production to engage their target audience and stand out from the competition? Because I feel like that's when you're getting on live video, that's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah. So one of the things that I think a lot of people are in their head and they're not sexy. They don't have a great brand. But I've worked with a lot of startup companies and they're building apps and they don't really have anything to sell yet. They're kind of building their brand, building their story. So one of the ways that I think that is really impactful is talking to your ideal customers that will use your potential app, what you intend it to be, and get them on a live stream and use it for customer stories and user experience. So we did that for one of the projects I worked on last year or like a year and a half ago. We're building an app and I helped produce a podcast where we got people that maybe either would use it or would talk about the app when it was launched because we were building the brand. So we put all our marketing dollars into building this live stream, or it was Simulive, and then we converted it to a podcast, and then it became blogs, and then it became social posts. So it became all these things, and the core was recording a podcast and talking to your ideal audience. So it wasn't like, ooh, I'm going to get 10,000 followers, and I'm going to get tons of people following me, and they're going to start downloading my app, but we were almost like cherry picking those specific people that we wanted to talk to so that we could help them learn about the app. So it was one of a cool way. I mean, I think to do some market research too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so strategic. And the content repurposing magic that comes from it. Oh my goodness. People just don't know. You need to know.
Yeah. And I think people can do that also if they're like super techie. Like if there's a lot of startup apps that are, you know, I worked with a woman who was building like a software for holistic practitioners. So she would create content specifically around running your online business because she's running a business online and building an app. And so it was kind of like her way to like get in front of people in front of her target audience, but not necessarily talk about the app yet. Yeah. So
smart.
Excellent. All right. I want to know if someone is hesitant to add live streaming into their content plans, what are a few tips that you would give them to get started?
Well, first, I would say download my ultimate live stream checklist. And I think that can be put in the comments or the notes. That kind of gives you an overview of all the things you might want to think about before you go live, from pre-production to production to post-production. And then I think go back to, you know, what is the reason why you're doing this? And it should align with your business's why and mission. And not really getting caught up in the numbers, because like Jen said, it's a content goldmine when you can create content like this and then use it for other things. I think right now, if you're hiring a social media manager, they should know video, they should know how to podcast, even though, you know, especially when you're building stuff, you can't really do it all. A social media manager is like a job of five people in one sometimes, depending on, you know, you're writing content, you're engaging, you're doing all those things. So if you can utilize live streaming and leverage a way to connect on video, I think it's definitely really essential. And then my number one tip is please look into the camera lens.
Yeah.
Like right there. Like, it's so weird because I'm not making eye contact with you all. But I'm like, I can hear you and I connect with you, but I'm looking into the camera because if I watch this back, I want to be able to know that, you know, I can connect with the people watching versus like looking this way or something. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, and
AI is going to change that. So,
yes. Yeah. Oh, AI will change everything. We mentioned that we're using StreamYard. So that's one of the first steps too, right? Like you got to pick a platform. Yes. So StreamYard, Restream, is BeLive still a thing?
I think so, but it's on desktop. So you have to like download it. Yeah.
Yeah. Ecamm also desktop. So that's it gets a little bit trickier.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the software, right? And I think you can, I mean, we're all going to attest to StreamYard probably being one of the easiest ones to Restream as well.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, also like what platform are you streaming to? Because you can stream to all of them, but where's your focus going to be, especially if you're just starting out and you want to build a whole YouTube channel and optimize for that, or you want it on LinkedIn because that's where most of your clientele are. So
yeah, I've found that as of late, we don't get all that many people on Facebook anymore, which that used to be the place, and now they're watching on LinkedIn.
So. Yeah, Facebook is. I don't even think I've streamed to Facebook. That was my first live stream face platform, but I'm like, I don't really use it anymore.
Yeah.
Sorry, we have a thunderstorm of dog barking here. So I just stay on mute as long as I can. All right. So live video production often involves various technical aspects and a lot of challenges, like we've been talking about. What are some common hurdles that you've encountered in your experience? Like things that happen like kind of often, and how do you teach people how to kind of expect them? But then also to overcome them. So we kind of talked about backup plan. Let's really dive into like a couple of specifics.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people, and you guys can agree with me or not, will watch grainy video, but they won't listen to bad audio.
Yeah.
And I think that's, and this is like, you can't really control it if you have like a bad internet connection one day, but if you have bad audio. So one of the things is definitely making sure that your audio is good. And that doesn't mean like buy the most expensive like microphone and have like all of these things, but you know, you can slowly build up to that. I think another thing that we do with my clients' guests is do build in a tech check into your workflow. It allows people to like reduce their fear of going live if they have never gone live, kind of get your run of show, get comfortable with coming on StreamYard or whatever platform you're using. That's like a 10-minute call sometimes, but it can be really it can be cumbersome when it comes to, you know, actually being prepared for the day of.
Yeah. Build that into your budget too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just start from the beginning.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, just, like right now, I think we all have like our lights in front of us and our face is well lit. I think a lot of people forget about that. Like, I'll turn off my light really quick because I just want to see how it looks. I've never like gone live without it. I mean, really, but it's not too bad because my screen is pretty well lit. But some people, you know, they don't even send like a prep checklist or like some basics to their guests or right. review that, and they're you can't see them and. It just doesn't look great when you're building your brand, you know.
I my joke that I like to ask people to make light of it is, are you in the witness protection program? Right. You know, like, to get them to like open a curtain or something like
yeah.
I'm kind of half I have a ring light over here. I can't have it in front because I have a window there, but also because of my glasses.
Yeah.
But so normally I would have natural light on the lift, but the time of day it is right now, I would be getting blasted. So it was like, do I have this side guy not lit as well? Or yeah, so you kind of got to play with mm-hmm. it and it, take into account the time of day, right?
Right. Yeah.
Give a window yeah. behind you. You don't want to have yeah. like sunset without, you know, with a curtain open because then you, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't usually go live. I don't go live this late in the day. I mean, it's what, seven, almost seven
dinner time. Yeah.
But like the sun is on this side at this time of day. So it's really hot in here. Plus my light, I'm like burning right. up. But like, right. there's a lot of people that will not even turn on a light or like consider that during our tech check. We talk about that. Like we try to have the tech check at the same time of the day. So they know. And that's when yeah. I'm producing an event with like five or six speakers. Like we have a tech check like 2 or 3 days beforehand. Cause if their setup really is bad and you can tell like by they can't connect their audio, you know, all that, we have a way to like, you know, at least a day for them to get something else or move to a different location.
Yeah. Super smart timing the rehearsal at mm-hmm. the same time as like, or not rehearsal, but yeah, the tech check, that's super smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Awesome. All right. Well, we have one final question that we ask every guest. And I know you already shared them with me via email, which I appreciated because then I just put it in my show notes and I don't even have to write it down. But we'd like to have you share a business book or two, if you like, that you would share with our listeners that you recommend.
Yes. So I'm going to pull it up because I have many. If you can see behind me, I have lots of books right there. What did I write? Okay, so my overall recommendation for life and business is The Four Agreements. It's more of a personal book, but it's more of a mantra, how you live. It's a really quick read. And I just read Together We Rise, which is about women coming together through the pandemic and like learning from that and sharing their expertise. But my business book that I would suggest everyone read is called Selling Boldly. And this is, I think a lot of, we're all marketers here, but I think sometimes we forget how to sell and how to approach a sales conversation. And I think once I started reading those books or anything around sales, really it helped me improve my mindset around sales and how I'm helping others, not necessarily selling services. And how to approach that. So I think marketers should read that because it really just switched my mindset and like how I charge, how I approach a sales conversation, how I show up to a sales conversation. And so it's pretty life-changing, I'd say.
Awesome. I'll have to check that out. I used to work in sales and I like to say mm-hmm. that I, even now, if I'm selling something, which we talked with Brooke about on the last show, like everyone mm-hmm. is in sales, whether you think you are or not.
Yeah.
So anything like that, that will help you approach those conversations, even if you're on the buying side, right? Understanding right. the sales process as a buyer, I think is mm-hmm. important as well.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, we'll of course be sure to include those in the show notes along with the, I put the, your your checklist in the chat, but I will also add that to the show notes so that people can get a hold of that. Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Marissa. I don't think we mentioned it, but she's in Nashville, Tennessee now. I said she left San Diego, but I don't know if we mentioned where you went. And Jim Fuse.
Hi, Jim.
Just in time, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
He caught us. You caught us almost on the farewell. Hi, Jim. Thanks for joining us. All right. Thank you, Miss Jen, for being a fabulous co-host as always.
Well, and thank you for being the most amazing host there is, Miss Megan.
Oh, stop. Thanks for being with us, Marissa. We appreciate
you. Thank you. I really had a good time. Hope to see you guys soon, Megan, maybe next month, and definitely Jen next month.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
They will be at Social Media Day, Wichita.
Yes.
I won't be there, but I'm sure it'll be amazing. I'll get some FOMO, no question there, when I see the posts and all that kind of good stuff. All right, friends, if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. And if you are so inclined, rate and review us on the platform that you prefer. Thanks for being with us, whether you were live in the chat or watching the replay or listening on the podcast. We appreciate you all. Thanks so much, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.